Let's continue with our discussion of our theme for this year. Jesus saying, come, follow me. And we last week or 2 weeks ago, we looked at Matthew or Mark, the fourth chapter. And we know this as the parable of the sower, or sometimes we call it the parable of the seed. And we've been talking about this. This is Jesus teaching a parable saying, listen to me. Take in what I'm saying and bear fruit, because that's the important part. Mark, the fourth chapter, verse 20, has kind of been our touchstone passage for the last couple of weeks. Hear the word, accept it, bear fruit. Some will bear 30-fold, some 60-fold, some will bear 100-fold. So let's focus on this just a little bit more, and we will look at today those seeds that were sown by the sower on the path. And understand, the sower that's sowing these seeds, he's a farmer. He is not going to waste seed. He's not. He knows exactly what he's doing. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 4, or Mark 4, verse 13. Do you not understand this parable? How will you understand all parables? The sower sows the word. The sower is putting the seed exactly where he wants it to go. And some of that seed, the sower chose to put on the path, knowing full well that Satan was going to come and he was going to try to snatch away those good seeds that he had put on that. And I've talked about my grandfather, farmer, how he could spread broadcast seeds with his hand like that. And he did it and it was perfectly even. And how I can't do that. When I tried to do it with fertilizer, I wound up with green crescents and they didn't overlap. I didn't know how to put the seed or the fertilizer where I wanted it, but not so. This is a farmer. If he put the seed there, he put it there because he wanted to put it there. And he probably knew that some of that seed would be snatched away by Satan. Now think about that for just a minute and what that all means. God, who is the ultimate seed giver, the ultimate seed sower, God put Jesus on the earth knowing that Satan was going to do everything that Satan could to snatch him away. Satan was able to crucify Jesus, and that didn't prevent Jesus from being sown right there. Even though he was apparently crucified by Satan using evil men, that's what God wanted to happen. He knew that it was going to happen. This was a part of his great plan to save all men. So I can't tell you how important it is to understand that when the sower puts seed there, he meant to put it there. That's what Jesus had to say in John the 16th chapter, beginning at verse 7. He's talking with his disciples. This is shortly before Jesus is crucified and he goes away. He says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. If I do not go away, the Helper won't come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Jesus told his disciples, it's in God's plan that Satan snatch me away from you. How on earth can that be good? Well, the first thing that occurred to me is that it's good because it forced his disciples to stop looking just at the temporal. Because Jesus was taken away, his disciples had to move their eyes from what they can see right here up to heaven. Because that's where Jesus went. By his departure, his death, his ascension, his resurrection, all of those things, by having those great facts before their eyes, they would be led by the Spirit to see more fully and to appreciate more completely the spiritual realm. If Jesus had stayed here, their eyes would have stayed on what they could see walking on the streets in Judea. When he was with them, notwithstanding all the plain teaching that he did, they couldn't grasp it. They were filled with prejudice and error, and we sometimes focus on the idea that they wanted Jesus to establish a kingdom that was like the kingdom that David had ruled over. That's a temporal viewpoint. It took Jesus going away for them to redirect their focus away from what they could see right here, right now, to acknowledging that there was something far greater, that Jesus still lives. That was what it was important for them to understand. Now, secondly, Jesus went away from them. Satan snatched him off of the earth. And it was important because Jesus could only be in one place at the time. He could walk in Judea, but if he was in Judea, then they couldn't see him in America. It would never work if Jesus had stayed here. He'd have been restricted to the people that he could interact with at that particular location in that particular time. I am so grateful that he was taken back up to heaven, that the Spirit was sent here, because the Spirit can be everywhere. And I need that. In order to secure the great design of saving all men everywhere, Jesus had to leave. And the Spirit had to come. And the Spirit could be in all places and apply the real work that God wanted to see done to all people in all parts of the earth at the same time. You know, I understand the principles of matter. One thing can't be in two places at the same time. If Jesus had stayed here, we'd have been confronted with that. If the work of the Savior was to make atonement and the Spirit had to come, once Jesus had made the atonement, he had finished his portion of the work. The Spirit came and continued the work. Jesus made the atonement. The Spirit gave us this so that we will know how to live. If Jesus had stayed here, focus on only the atonement that was made, the great sacrifice that was made, the cross, you wouldn't have this. So Jesus went away. And you sometimes you look at that, Satan snatching the good away, that had to be a bad thing, right? God knew it was going to happen. And he put Jesus on the earth in just that place, knowing that Satan was going to do that. I marvel at the wisdom of God. So when we take all of this in, what does it mean to me? Satan will snatch away the good. He'll do his very best to keep you from hearing the word. There are a lot of movements to remove Bibles from libraries. There are a lot of movements to silence people who would read the Bible. There are people who get fired for putting Bible verses on their business card. Satan will do everything he can to take the word away. What's that mean? Seize the moment. Don't wait for a better day. You know, when Ananias came to Saul at the time in the book of Acts, where Paul retells the story of what happened with Ananias, he said, Ananias came to me and he said, Saul, why tarriest thou? Arise, be baptized, wash away your sins. Do it now. Don't wait. And let Satan snatch away the word so that you lose the opportunity to respond to him. In Hebrews, the 3rd chapter, the Apostle Paul writes even further about this. Beginning in verse 7, he says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts as in the rebellion or the day of testing in the wilderness when your fathers put me to the test and saw my works for 40 years. Then I was provoked with them, with that generation. I said, they will always go astray in their hearts. They have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they will not enter into my rest. God is patient, but his patience is not endless. Seize the moment. Take care, brothers, he says, lest there be in any of you an evil heart, an unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another almost every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Seize the moment. Don't let this good seed go to waste. Don't wait. Satan will snatch it. Bear fruit in your life and do it today. I have things that I need to change in my life to bring my life more closely aligned with God. Don't wait to do that. John, the 9th chapter, and at verse 5, the apostles have watched Jesus heal a man who was blind. John 9, at verse 5, the record says that as long as I'm in the world, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. You need to bear fruit today. The time will come, Jesus says, when it's night and you can't do anything. Now, figuratively, I think maybe he's saying, bear fruit in your life today. One day you're going to die. It's time for you to make the changes that you need to make now. Don't wait. Bear fruit in your own life and do good works to others. Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, is, I think, in some ways, it can be one of the most depressing passages in all of Proverbs because of the the impact that it has when it's not followed. Proverbs 3, beginning at verse 27, he says, "Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due, especially when it's in your power to do it." Don't say to your neighbor, "Go, come again, tomorrow I will give it to you," when you have it with you. Don't put it off. You may be familiar with my story. There was a couple that was in a nursing home, and I hate to go to nursing homes. They're just depressing places. And most of you have probably felt the same way. There are places that I don't want to go. I wanted to go see them, but I wanted to encourage them. I wanted to do something I could to help them. But it was so hard for me to go. And it was always on my to-do list. You know, I keep a calendar on my phone. Back then, I did it on paper. But I keep a calendar on my phone. And they were always on my to-do list. But they were always at the bottom. And I would run out of time to do all of the things on my to-do list. And so they would get put off till tomorrow. I put them off 2 months. Finally went to see them. And I found out that they had died. I didn't even know it. Don't put off doing the good works that you can do for someone else until it's too late. And I just want to leave you with this thought. This is a statement that C.S. Lewis made. If we let ourselves, we shall always be waiting for some distraction or other to end before we can really get down to our work. Don't be that way. Don't let Satan snatch away the good. It may be that you need to put on Christ. Don't wait. Do it today. It's just like Ananias said to Saul. Don't wait. Don't wait for a more convenient time. It may be that you need to return to God. Do it today. Don't wait. Don't leave this place thinking, you know, I need to work on this. Take the opportunity that's provided for them. Work today. Today approach God in prayer, asking for his forgiveness. He's promised he would forgive. And if you want us, we will pray with you. But we want you to think about it. Put on Jesus today in baptism. Live the way that he wants you to live, but don't put it off.